Alright, we are continuing chapter 37 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. The last chapter. It was with a heavy heart that Harry packed up his trunk in the dormitory on the night before his return to Privet Drive. He was dreading the leaving feast, which was usually cause for celebration when the winner of the Interhouse Championship would be announced. He had avoided being in the Great Hall when it was full, ever since he had left the hospital wing, preferring to eat when it was nearly empty, to avoid the stares of his fellow students. When he, Ron, and Hermione entered the hall, they saw at once that the usual decorations were missing. The Great Hall was normally decorated with the winning house's colors for the leaving feast. Tonight, however, there were black drapes on the wall behind the teacher's table. Harry knew instantly that they were there as a mark of respect to Cedric. The real Mad-Eye Moody was at the staff table now, his wooden leg and magical eye back in place. He was extremely twitchy, jumping at every time someone spoke to him. Harry couldn't blame him. Moody's fear of attack was bound to have increased by his 10-month imprisonment in his own trunk. Professor Karkaroff's chair was empty. Harry wondered as he sat down with the other Gryffindors where Karkaroff was now, and whether Voldemort had caught up with him. Madame Maxime was still there. She was sitting next to Hagrid, and they were talking quietly together. Further along the table, sitting next to Professor McGonagall, was Snape. His eyes lingered on Harry for a moment as Harry looked at him. His expression was difficult to read. He looked as sour and unpleasant as ever. Harry continued to watch him, long after Snape had looked away. What was it that Snape had done on Dumbledore's orders the night that Voldemort returned? Oh, how is that hard to figure out?
I don't know. I didn't think about it when I first read it.
Really?
What do you think he did?
Well, he went back to Voldemort.
Well, yeah, but first time you read it, what did you think?
I said he did that.
Okay, well, you always guess the endings of movies anyway, so you're just smarter than the average bear.
The average bear. But the problem is the average bear keeps taking my picnic basket.
Hey, boo-boo. Picnic basket.
The problem is you put two delicious meats in the picnic basket, and then the bears take it.
Picnic basket.
And why was Dumbledore so convinced that Snape... What? Oh, hey. You're sexy. But there are children listening, and we can't do that.
Okay.
Why was some Dumbledore so convinced that Snape was truly on their side? He had been their spy. Dumbledore had said so in the Pensieve. Snape was a spy against Voldemort at great personal risk. Was that the job he had taken up again? Yes. Had he made contact with the... Had he made contact with the Death Eaters, perhaps? Yes. Pretended that he had never really gone over to Dumbledore? That he had been, like Voldemort himself, biding his time? Yes. See, it's not hard, right? Harry's musings were ended by Professor Dumbledore, who stood up at the staff table. The Great Hall, which in any case had been less noisy than it usually was at the Leaving Feast, became very quiet. The end, Dumbledore said, looking at all of them, of another year. He paused, and his eyes fell upon Hufflepuff table. Theirs had been the most subdued before he had gotten to his feet, and theirs was still the saddest and palest faces in the hall. "There is much I would like to say to you tonight," said Dumbledore, "but I must first acknowledge the loss of a very fine person who should be sitting here." He gestured toward the Hufflepuffs, enjoying our feast with us. "I would like you all, please, to stand and raise your glasses to Cedric Diggory." They did it, all of them. The benches scraped as everyone in the hall stood and raised their goblets and echoed in one loud, rumbling voice, "Cedric Diggory." Harry caught a glimpse of Cho through the crowd. There were tears pouring silently down her face. He looked down at the table as they all sat down again. Cedric was a person who exemplified many of the qualities that distinguished Hufflepuff House, Dumbledore continued. He was a good and loyal friend, a hard worker, and he valued fair play. His death has affected all of you, whether you knew him well or not. I think you have the right, therefore, to know exactly how it came about. Harry raised his head and stared at Dumbledore. Cedric Diggory was murdered by Lord Voldemort. A panicked whisper swept the great hall. People were staring at Dumbledore in disbelief, in horror. He looked perfectly calm as he watched them mutter themselves into silence. The Ministry of Magic, Dumbledore continued, does not wish me to tell you this. It is possible that some of your parents will be horrified that I have done so, either because they will not believe that Lord Voldemort has returned, or because they think I should not tell you so, as young as you are. It is my belief, however, that the truth is generally preferable to lies, that any attempt to pretend that Cedric died as a result of an accident, or some sort of blunder on his own, is an insult to his memory. Stunned and frightened, every face in the hall was turned toward Dumbledore now, or almost every face. Over at Slytherin table, Harry saw Draco Malfoy muttering something to Crabbe and Goyle. Harry felt a hot, sick swoop of anger in his stomach. He forced himself to look back at Dumbledore. There is somebody else who must be mentioned in connection with Cedric's death, Dumbledore went on. I'm talking, of course, about Harry Potter. A kind of ripple crossed the great hall as a few heads turned in Harry's direction before flicking back to Dumbledore. Harry Potter managed to escape Lord Voldemort, said Dumbledore. He risked his own life to return Cedric's body to Hogwarts. He showed, in every respect, the sort of bravery that few wizards have ever shown in facing Lord Voldemort, and for this, I honor him. Dumbledore turned gravely to Harry and raised his goblet once more. Nearly everyone in the Great Hall followed suit. They murmured his name as they had Cedric's and drank to him. But through a gap in the standing figures, Harry saw that Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle, and many of the other Slytherins, had remained defiantly in their seats, their goblets untouched. Dumbledore, who, after all, possessed no magical eye, did not see them. When everyone had once again resumed their seats, Dumbledore continued. The Triwizard Tournament's aim was to further and promote magical understanding. In the light of what has happened, of Lord Voldemort's return, such ties are more important than ever before. Dumbledore looked from Madame Maxime and Hagrid to Fleur Delacour and her fellow Beauxbatons students, to Victor Crumb and the Durmstrangs at the Slytherin table. Crumb, Harry saw, looked wary, almost frightened, as though he expected Dumbledore to say something harsh. Every guest in this hall, Dumbledore said, and his eyes lingered upon the Durmstrang students, will be welcome back here at any time should they wish to come. I will say to you all once again, in the light of Lord Voldemort's return, we are only as strong as we are united, as weak as we are divided. Lord Voldemort's gift for spreading discord and enmity is very great. We can fight it only by showing an equally strong bond of friendship and trust. Differences of habit and language are nothing at all if our aims are identical and our hearts are open. It is my belief, and never have I so hoped that I am mistaken, that we are all facing dark and difficult times. Some of you in this hall have already suffered directly at the hands of Lord Voldemort. Many of your families have been torn asunder. A week ago, a student was taken from our midst. Remember Cedric. Remember, if the time should ever come when you should make a choice between what is right and what is easy, remember what happened to a boy who was good and kind and brave because he strayed across the path of Lord Voldemort. Remember Cedric Diggory. And I think we'll stop there. And we probably could finish tomorrow. Maybe you like that kitty. And now you get to go take a shower. And then you go to sleep, right? Okay. I love you very much. Say goodnight to yourself. Goodnight, kitty. I love you.